on 98FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. You're listening to Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix 98FM. Thanks, as always, to Darren for another first-class 98.out show. For next hour, I'm John Chubb, and this is the Norleague Hour.
Thank you.
Oh, Slim, starting us off musically this evening with Praise You. Now, the non-league season very much at the business end. So I tweaked with the format of the show last week. We normally do the women's section in the middle, but with all the promotion and relegation issues to talk about, I changed it around last week, cleared up all the men's stuff first, and the women's roundup we're doing afterwards. Both the men's and women's seasons coming to a close, of course. And it was the end of the National League season on Saturday. All of the National League matches kicked off on Saturday lunchtime, and Southend United, who incredibly only just missed out on the playoffs. They lost 2-1 at home to Rochdale. Guscott Morris, who has since been voted their player of the year, put the Shrimpers ahead on 7 minutes, but they ended up losing 2-1. Rochdale ended up playing twice. Devante Rodney scoring the decisive goal in the first minute of second half injury time. So, as it was, though, it would have made no difference if they'd won, because FC Halifax Town, one of their rivals for clinching seventh spot, they won, and they ended up finishing seventh place. They beat Aldershot Town to it as well. Aldershot went to Dagenham and Redbridge for theirs, and the Daggers' last match of the season. They finished a three-all draw with Eddie Effingong, Ryan Hill and Dion Pereira netting for the Daggers, who finished in 15th place. Southend ended up finishing in 9th. But Halifax Town, FC Halifax Town, that is, are out of the playoffs because they lost their eliminator last night, 4-2 at Solihull Moors. At the other end of the table, Boreham Wood were relegated on Saturday. A 0-0 draw at home to Ebbsfleet United wasn't enough for them, so they will be joining Oxford City, Dorking Wanderers and Kidderminster Harriers in Step 2 next season. All of those clubs have been relegated. Woking, Ebbsfleet, York and Wealdstone all survived. And the National League playoff semi-finals take place this weekend. On Saturday, Barnet host Solihull Moors, and on Sunday, it's Bromley versus Altrincham.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Meanwhile, in the National League South, Chelmsford City finished second after their 1-1 draw at Chippenham Town on Saturday. George Alexander was the claret scorer after 23 minutes of that game. Braintree Town, meanwhile, ended up finishing fifth. They had hoped to finish third and go straight into the playoff semi-finals along with the Clarets, but it wasn't to be. They ended up finishing in fifth place after losing 3-2 at home to Eastbourne Borough in their last game. Freddie Sears, former West Ham United, Ipswich Town and Colchester United striker, got his first goal for the Iron. Joe Grimwood also got one for Braintree, but it wasn't enough as their visit won 3-2 and have successfully avoided the drop. Eastbourne were one of the sides threatened with relegation. So Braintree went into the eliminator stage of the playoffs, and on Tuesday night they hosted Bath City, who finished in sixth place at Cressing Road, and Braintree won 1-0, so they went into the semi-finals anyway. Tom Blackwell scored late in extra time to set up a semi-final with their local rivals Chelmsford City, but Chelmsford are the hosts. That takes place on Saturday afternoon at Melbourne Park. We'll be following that one closely on Phoenix Sport. And Averley also made the playoffs. They managed to finish in seventh place after they beat Bath themselves 2-0 at Parkside on Saturday. But sadly, the Millers went out last night. They lost their eliminator 2-1 at Maidstone United. But well done to them. They've had a really good first season at Step 2 of non-league, and I think they can be very proud of what they've achieved, having only come up from the Eastbourne Premier last season and Eastbourne North the season before that. They have done really well indeed. The other playoff semi-final takes place on Sunday. That is Worthing versus Maidstone United. And just to remind you, Dover Athletic, Havant, Waterlooville, Taunton Town and Dartford have all been relegated. They will be playing their football at Step 3 next season.
I'm John Chubb, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
We had a couple of featured non-league matches on Phoenix Sport last Saturday. One of them involved Billericay Town, who were still hoping to find their way back into the Isthmian Premier League playoff spots. They travelled to Carshalton Athletic, and they were followed by down there by our reporter Jack Patmore. You can hear his full-term summary of the match now.
Jack Patmore reporting for Phoenix FM from Carshalton Athletic. A late Alfie Cerulli strike keeps the Blues' playoff dream alive with a 2-1 comeback victory. The Blues passed up a golden opportunity to grab the opener with just 2 minutes on the clock as George Wynn's delivery was put on a plate for Moses Emmanuel, who failed to find the target. An uneventful following 20 minutes saw little action in both boxes until Matt Everett's ferocious strike was met by a superb block by Tom Bender before Bradley Stevenson fired just wide of the target moments later for Billericay. Carl Shulton, who before kickoff weren't able to mathematically secure a late playoff spot, were eager to end their campaign on a positive note, and they opened the scoring. Kennett capitalised on a Blues defensive mishap, and Dan Wilkes was equal to the task, but the ball was only pushed into the path of Henshaw, who ricocheted into his own net. McCann would have been pleased with Billericay's start to the second half, and they found the leveller through Emmanuel on 52 minutes. Alfie Cerulli's driven cross on the right fell to the striker, who was on hand to notch his 11th league goal of the campaign. Carl Shulton nearly restored their one-goal cushion a few minutes later, which saw Frimpong, Carl Shulton's main attacking threat, have his shot fizz wide of the target. The Blues weren't willing to give in, though, and Cerulli put us ahead for the first time in the match 4 minutes from time. The forward oozed composure on the edge of the box, and he took his time before dispatching into the bottom corner to cause delirium in the away end behind the goal. Emmanuel had the perfect opportunity to wrap up the 3 points 2 minutes from time, as a substitute Ruben Suarez Jr. sent him through on goal, but he couldn't net his brace as he fired straight at the side netting. The Blues managed to hold on, though, despite a few nervy moments at the death, to ensure it goes down to the final day. It finishes here, Carshalton Athletic 1, Billericay Town 2.
So that kept Billericay Town Evens playoffs alive. However, it is going to be very difficult for them indeed, because looking at the league table, they're on 70 points in sixth place. Horsham above them on 73. Wingate and Finchley, they are in fourth place also on 73 points. So they have to win their final game, Billericay against Margate, a new lodge on Saturday. Margate, who are almost certainly relegated, although mathematically Cheshire could still be, but it would be a couple of free results. So Margate almost certainly down. Billericay have to win that game, and they will have to hope that Horsham and Wingate and Finchley lose theirs. Although Billericay have a vastly superior goal difference to both of those clubs, so it's certainly not impossible. Incidentally, Chatham Town and Enfield Town, who are second and third, they are both guaranteed playoff spots now. And champions Hornchurch won 1-0 at Potters Bar Town on Saturday. The Urchins already confirmed as the league champions. There was a win for Canvey Island as well. They won 3-1 in their match at Cheshunt on Saturday. And Hornchurch's goal scorer at Potters Bar was Lewis Manor. That was in second half injury time. Canvey's goals came from Sam Higgins, he scored a brace in the first half. Rob Girdlestone scored a third, 85 minutes from time after Cheshire had pulled one back 40 minutes from time. And as I say, Cheshire mathematically could still go down, but it looks very unlikely. Kingstonian Concord Rangers and Haringey Borough, the other side's already relegated. Hornchurch. Concord drew 1-1 at home to Whitehawk on Saturday. And Frederick Angibang was their goal scorer before the Beach Boys conceded a goal in second half injury time. It finished 1-1 at the Aspect Arena. On Tuesday night, they had another home match, this time against Bognor Regis Town, but they were well beaten by 4-0. As for this weekend, Billericay playing Margate, as I've said, Hornchurch round off what's been a fantastic season for them as they head for National League South football next season. They entertain Kingstonian in their final match. Hashtag United are playing their last home game at Bows and Pitsey's Len Salmon Stadium as they'll be moving to Aveley's ground Parkside at the start of next season. Hashtag are playing Cheshire. Canvey round off their campaign with a home match against Hastings United. And Concord Rangers, they say goodbye to the Isthmian Premier League, at least for now. It's been a pretty miserable campaign for them, suffering a second successive relegation. They travel to Horsham in their final match. I'm going to take a look at the Isthmian North shortly. That's after we've heard from the Rolling Stones. This is Mess It Up. from their recent album Hackney Diamonds, the Rolling Stones, Mess It Up. Incidentally, we've got a special guest who you're going to hear me talking to later in the programme. Dan Wright, who is the chairman of Thurlow Nunn Division 1 South champions, Ben Fleet. He is going to be joining me a bit later on. But in the meantime, we're going to focus on the Isthmian North, where Brentwood Town went into their home match against Brightling Sea Region on Saturday, secure in the knowledge that they were already guaranteed a playoff spot. That was our other featured match on Phoenix Sport on Saturday. And after the final whistle, Andy Gardner, who was over there watching the match for us, popped into the studio to tell me all about it.
Hello, John. Yeah, very disappointing game, actually. Yeah, Brentwood ending the season with a home defeat, losing 2-0 to Brightling Sea Region. Well-deserved win for the visitors. Quite a flat performance from Brentwood, maybe. They're thinking they've got into the playoffs, so they'll save a bit of energy for the playoffs. The visitors went in front with a goal from Charlie Collis after 14 minutes, and he almost got a second as well. Brentwood did hit the post in 28 through George Sykes, but that was about it. Second half, pretty much the same again. Brentwood had a couple of chances, but then we had a fantastic goal after 69 minutes to clinch the game, and it was another Collis. It was Teddy, I take it it's your brother. A beautiful left foot curler. I was right behind it. You could see it was going to go in the minute he left his foot. Brilliant goal, so that sealed it. Brentwood had a good couple of good chances after that, but Lewis Green made a couple of really good saves in the visitors' goal. So Brentwood's possibly their last ever home match on this grass pitch, as you finish Brentwood 0 Brightling Sea Region 2.
Yeah, they've got a new artificial surface to come. Work's going to start on very soon, I believe. Do you think possibly Brentwood were they fired up for this one with the knowledge that they were already in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they've had two away wins in the last week to seal it, and I don't think they thought they could get much higher. So it does look like they're going to go to Boa. I haven't seen the table. I think it could be Boa's in the playoffs, but we'll see. We've got another round of fixtures to go, but it does look that way, especially with Lowestoft sealing the title today.
Sure. Now, of course, they made the playoffs 2 years ago, came very close, ending up losing to Canvey Island, you'll recall, in the final on penalties. They've had an impressive campaign this year. Do you think they've got all it takes to go the extra mile this time, from what you've seen?
Yeah, I think they can. They're certainly set up to go up better, I think, this time around. Berrytown, I think, are going to be quite tough to stop as well. Good side. Ramadan just bangs in the goals, isn't he, every week for fun.
Yes.
Obviously, Bowers are going to be... They were very strong down here 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, but I do think Brentwood are better on the road anyway, away from this pitch. I think it does hold them back, this pitch. Say they've dropped quite a few points lately on this pitch, losing 2 and drawing 1. So away from home, I'd take their chances, yeah.
Well, wait and see. Thank you, Andy. So Brentwood Town guaranteed a playoff spot. Bells and Pitsy will be joining them in the playoffs. They ended up losing out on the league title to Lowestoft Town. It was always going to be a big ask for Bowers, but even though they had a very impressive run of 9 games without defeat going in towards the end of the season, Lowestoft have been up the top for much of the campaign, and as it was, they won 3-1 at Los Alamos and ended up clinching the title, whilst Bowers were beaten 4-2 at home by Walthamstow. Matt Price and Baines Faveda gave Bowers a 2-0 win, but Tariq Straker put the ball in his own net to pull one back for Stowe 4 minutes into first half injury time. And after the break, Jonville Rene, Bilal Sayoud and Kamani Thomas all found the net for the East London side. So they ended up triumphing by 4-2. But, as I say, they're guaranteed a playoff spot along with Brentwood and Suffolk sides, Berrytown and Felixstowe and Walton United. Elsewhere on Saturday, there was defeat for Heybridge Swifts. They lost 1-0 at home to Wroxham. A thumpy win for Redbridge away to Ipswich Wanderers. They scored 5 goals without reply. The Motormen's Louis Johnson scoring a hat-trick. Jack Chorna got one from the penalty spot. And Jaden Silcock-Brown was also on the score sheet for Redbridge. Basildon United travelled to the bottom club, Stowmarket Town, who have had a dismal campaign, bottom of the table without a win, but they made a bit of a game of it. And Basildon only won by the odd goal in 7 in the end after Stowmarket took the lead early doors. Kai Jude replied almost straight away. Stowmarket scored again on 9 minutes, but goals from Ruben Bartlett, Antwi, and another one from Jude got the bees back into it. Stowmarket, they replied on 45 minutes, but Clyde Samazi scored what turned out to be the winner for Basildon with 11 minutes to go. The Bees currently in 9th place in the table. There was a win for Witham Town, who beat Grays Athletic 2-0. Joshua Asude, the scorer of both of those goals. One of those came from the penalty spot. So Lowestoft Town converters champions, Bowers from Pitsy in 2nd. They bury Felix Stone. Brentwood will be in the playoffs. Walthamstow in 6th place. Brightling Sea in 7th. Heybridge Swifts in 8th. Basildon United in 9th. Walden Tiptree 10th. Redbridge 12th. Witham, they are currently in 14th place. Grays Athletic are 16th. Incidentally, Redbridge were back in action last night. They picked up another 3 points. They won 1-0 away at Enfield. And once again, Louis Johnson was on the score sheet for the Motormen. He scored the only goal of the match 15 minutes from time. Staying with Step 4, and in the Southern League Division 1 Central, Waltham Abbey didn't play this week, but they're guaranteed a playoff spot now. Welling Garden City were the only side who could have caught them, but they needed to win both of their last 2 matches, and they slipped up on Saturday. They were held to a 3-3 draw by Aylesbury United. Abbey are currently 5th, but they could still finish as high as 3rd. They play their last match against Tame United on Saturday. Biggleswade or Bedford Town will be the champions of that league, and Kempston are relegated. Turning our attention now to the Essex Senior League, and congratulations to Tilbury, now confirmed as champions. They have returned to Step 4 at the first attempt, and they will be playing presumably in the Isthmian North again next season. Romford FA Vars finalists, of course, along with Great Wakery Rovers, and Woodford Town in 2nd and 3rd, both guaranteed playoff spots, and 2 clubs out of Sporting Bangor United, Barking and Great Wakery Rovers will be joining them. Just to round up the results from the last week. Thursday night saw Stanbury Rovers beat Takeley 2-0. Saturday's results were as follows. Athletic, Newham 0, Barking 0. Buckhurst Hill 1, Romford 0. Saffron Walden Town 4, Great Wakering Rovers 3. Stanbury Rovers 4, West Essex 0. Tilbury 2, Fremford 0. And White Ensign 2, Little Oakley 3. Tuesday night saw a 2-1 win for Athletic Newham away to Takeley. And White Ensign took on their landlords, Great Wakering Rovers at Bowers Park. Rovers won that 1-2-1. And last night, Ashton playing fields, it was Woodford Town versus Romford. And that finished in a 1-1 draw. Looking at the fixtures for the coming week, there is one tonight, actually. Buckhurst Hill are playing Great Wakering Rovers. Tomorrow night, West Essex take on Little Oakley. Buckhurst Hill versus Harbridge Sports. Cockshill versus Great Wakering. FC Clacton versus Barking. Ilford versus Woodford Town. Romford versus Housted Town. Stanbury Rovers versus Athletic Newham. Takeley versus Saffron Walden Town. And White Ensign versus Sporting Bangor United are Saturday's fixtures. On Monday, it's Takeley against Great Wakering Rovers, and Wakering are back in action on Wednesday night when they host FC Clacton. Staying at step five for just one moment in the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division. Last Thursday night, Stansted lost 1-0 away to Aylesbury Vale Dynamos, and they rounded off their season on Saturday with a 2-0 defeat against Crawley Green. They will be finishing in 14th place in that league. Royal Bedford confirmed as champions, and they have been promoted to step four.
Join Patrick Sherring for Friday's edition of 1-2-3. Conversations with guests from the community and beyond. The Friday teaser quiz, a vintage chart, live music sessions, and so much more. So spend your Friday 1-2-3 with Patrick here on Phoenix FM.
So now it's time to hear from our special guest this week, who is Dan Wright, the chairman of Benfleet FC, confirmed as the champions of the Furlough None Division 1 South, who will be taking their place at Non-League Step 5 next season. I had a really nice chat with him earlier today, and I'm going to play that for you now. I was going to play that for you now. Let me just try again. Here we go. Dan, the first thing I want to say is congratulations on Benfleet's achievement. You're the champions of the Thurlow Nunn Division 1 South after a fantastic season, which all you pick up 103 points from 42 games. And I think you won 33 of them. It's been an incredible campaign for you, hasn't it?
It's been absolutely unbelievable. I think I know I say the same thing over and over again, but we had no right to win this league. We're competing at the top of the league. We're competing with teams that have, you know, they've all got budgets. Some of them hundreds, some of them even into the thousands. You know, we are volunteer run top to bottom. We have no budget in the team at all. We always outdo ourselves, but I think to have actually gone on to win the league in the manner that we have is, yeah, I appreciate I'm biased, but it's extraordinary, really.
Yeah, so I followed Division 1 South this season, and the one thing that struck me is it's really competitive league. It seemed at one point, you know, there was a different team at the top of the league every week, and there was probably about five or six other clubs who could have won the title. So for you guys to have done it, you know, it's an extraordinary achievement.
Yeah, we were. I mean, you're absolutely right. And for a long time, us and Wormley, who ended up finishing quite clearly first and second, were down sort of fifth, sixth, seventh for a long time because we had so many games in hand. And it's a position we've been in before, where we've had, you know, where we've had lots of games in hand, and you know, after the Christmas period, and you know, you have the cold months and the postponements, and then you have fixture congestion. And historically, we've sort of struggled a bit, I think, to sort of make up our games in hand and really capitalise. But this season was obviously different. This season, we just got on the run and just kept going and going and going.
And the other thing which strikes me about your club, I know quite a few players at Step 6 pay their players. I know you don't, but which is brilliant, by the way, because you know it's nice to know that there were so many players who were prepared to do it for purely for love and not money. But it must represent a bit of a challenge in terms of recruitment at times, I would think.
You would think, wouldn't you? And do you know what is remarkable, actually? We actually have one of the highest retentions of players across not only the division but probably the county. Actually, we have a remarkable player retention. So we have a number of players, some of our best players, who have been with us 7-8 years, and we rely on a culture within the dressing room that is excellent. So we have we consider ourselves, and again, we're always going to be biased here, but we consider ourselves to be a really nice club, sort of top to bottom. You know, we always make an effort, you know, with the officials, with the league, with the opposition. You know, we're not we don't go out of our way to be controversial or sort of make arguments. We try and do the complete opposite. And I think that reflects right the way through the club, right the way through into the dressing room. And like I say, the amount of long-term players we have, you know, at a level of football where it's very common for players to have two or three clubs a season, some of them even more than that. We have a number of players, probably over half our first team, who have been with us for years and years and years. So, yeah, I can totally see why you would think that it would cause an issue. And actually, instinctively, I would agree with you. But the guys that run the team do such a fantastic job of keeping everybody happy and making sure that that culture sort of lands and really sticks throughout the first team, that actually we find, and we actually have a bit of a running joke at the club, which is that people join us and never leave. And it's an incredible compliment to us, because, like I say, we have players that we know, they know that they could go down the road and probably earn, you know, 30, 40 quid a match playing, but they choose to stay and play for us because they love Ben Fleet, they love being with the club, they love, you know, everything about the club. And obviously we love that.
That's a great reflection on the club. And looking back on the season you've just had, you had a managerial change fairly early on when Lee Scott came in, but it didn't really seem to kind of disrupt things, did it? You kind of carried on as you were and obviously ended up being league champions.
So I think, if you don't mind me saying so, I think that probably does Lee a little bit of a disservice, actually. I think Lee...
I wasn't intended to.
No, sorry. No, all I mean is I think Lee was kind of the missing ingredient almost to take a team that was already doing okay to a whole new level. I think Lee, when Alex decided to leave for Enfield, and Alex had done a decent job for us, I think when Alex decided to leave for Enfield, we had already, I myself and the committee had already long decided that Lee, whenever Alex chose to leave, because we're not a hire and fire club, you know, we like to, first of all, try and retain our managers rather than change them all the time. And secondly, when one does leave, we like to recruit from within, as per the sort of culture that I was talking about a minute ago. So I think when Alex chose to leave, we appointed Lee within minutes of Alex letting us know what he was doing. And I think Lee just seemed to take it up to another level, really. Reasonably well, to almost immediately went on this run where we just kept winning games. And I remember I always think it started at Harlow, and we had won a couple of games before the Harlow game, but that was a massive test for us. You know, Harlow, who were playing step four last season, who have massive budget, lovely ground, you know, huge crowd. We turned up, there were 500 plus fans there, and we managed to beat them 2-1, and it was a fan. Yeah, you know, we were brilliant. We defended really, really well. We scored a couple of goals on the counter attack. And when we won that game, that was probably the first time that we actually all thought there's an outside chance that we might just go up this season. You know, if we could stay on this run, you never know what might happen. And we just didn't stop winning, you know. And I think what was so notable was that every time we lost the odd game, we just got straight back on that winning run. You know, it's so common in football at all levels that, you know, you might win 10 in a row and then you lose one and suddenly you draw a couple and, you know, then you're struggling for form. But every time we lost one, we just got straight back on the wagon and whacked another sort of 7 or 8 game winning runs together.
So these are happy days at Benfleet, but when you first got involved at the club in 2019, wasn't really the case, was it?
No, it probably you'd be stretching it to describe it as happy times, I think, back in 2019. Yeah, I think at the point that I joined the club, it was kind of the end of the previous cycle. I think a lot of people had left. The club was in a bit of a state, in truth. I think that they'd had a long running battle with the council, which had culminated in an eviction notice being served that only had a couple of months left to run on it. The funds have run out, to be honest. We were well into our overdraft, and plans were being drawn up as to, you know, how can we keep the club alive in some way, shape or form without a ground. I managed to sort of work with the chairman at the time, and spoke to some of the local councillors, managed to keep lobbying the council, and eventually we managed to get the council to sort of come back on side, give us a new lease. We managed to get some grant funding to see us through to the summer, which obviously took us into COVID, which was a whole nother challenge to deal with. But what we managed to do, I think ultimately, myself, Mark Moyler, who's our vice chairman, who was sort of pretty central to this as well, between us, we managed to kind of build the club almost back up from nothing, really. We started getting youth teams in. We started getting a pipeline of kids coming through, which is our bread and butter, right? You know, our first team is a remarkable part of the club, but the community side of it is our bread and butter. So we managed to sort of slowly build that back up, or quite quickly build it back up, actually. And once we had the core of the club running as we wanted it, we could then go back to focusing on where we wanted to take the first team, which was back home to Woodside. And after sort of two or three years of lobbying, following 40 years of lobbying from the previous administration, we eventually got some movement with the council. They agreed to give us another new lease, but this time with a bit of exclusive space for us to build our stadium, and then we could really get going from there.
That's the other exciting aspect of your future, really, because since you first went up to the Thurlow Nunn back in 2018,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think it was. You've been ground sharing, or the first team have been ground sharing, right, with Canvey Island,
yeah,
at Park Lane, but back in January, I believe, work started at Woodside Park, where your other teams still play, of course, to bring it up to standard. And how's that coming along? Are the first team going to be able to play there next season?
So, funnily enough, the floodlights went up yesterday, actually, and I've literally...
Oh, wow.
Just before I joined this call, I had a text from one of the guys saying about going down tonight for the proper floodlight test. We are coming on very, very well, I think, the ground. We're probably about 70% of the way there now. To look at it, you might not say it, because obviously what we've done is a lot of the groundworks. So some of the bigger stuff, like the stands that sort of drop in, aren't there yet. But I think we would be exceptionally unlucky to not make the start of next season. I think we should, you know, barring any real unforeseen disasters, we should have this well done in time for next season, and hopefully even ready for pre-season, to be fair. It's coming along really, really well. And it is, yeah, it will be one of the greatest things that we've ever done as a club, really, to bring our first team home and give the local community of Benfleet a non-league football team, which they've never had before.
Yeah, and playing at Step 5, that's a whole new challenge, obviously. I know your players are unpaid, unlike some at Step 6. Would that have to change going into Step 5, which I'm assuming is going to be the Essex Senior League?
It will be the Essex Senior League.
Yeah.
And obviously, we can't wait for it. It's going to be a fantastic challenge for us at Step 5. We get FA Cup football every season, which hopefully...
I was going to say, yeah, the FA Cup as well. Fantastic.
That is so, so exciting for a little club like ours, you know, and particularly on the off chance that we could get a home draw. That could even be our first proper game at Woodside, you know, an FA Cup tie. It would just be unbelievable. In response to your other question, which I seem to keep being asked lately, funnily enough, I think we know as a committee that we can't go on relying on volunteers forever. I think we can't just abandon, obviously, the sort of community principles that our club runs on. So we will need to transition across, because we do have goals. You know, we would love to go. I'm not suggesting that we're going to do this next season, by the way, or anytime soon. But we would love at some point to be sort of pushing for, you know, for the next level again. You know, we don't just want to stand still forever. But equally, we do have to build in the right way. I think we're not likely to have any budget for next season, I think, to be sort of clear on that. It's we need to really get back to Woodside, get our finances under control, work out, you know, what sort of attendances we're getting. You know, we're really hopeful that now we're in step five, and particularly building on some really fantastic crowds that we got towards the end of last season, right? So, you know, when I first started in 2019, we would regularly get single figures, you know, 7-8 people turning up to a home game. This season, towards the end of this season, I mean, we've had midweek games against sort of London teams that typically bring nobody. And we've had 80, 90 fans turn up of ours. You know, it's absolutely extraordinary. And they're going all the way to Canby from Benfleet. You know, these are Benfleet locals. So without sort of wanting to stretch it too much, it's really quite realistic that we could get some good numbers at Woodside next season. And I'm sorry to sort of waffle on about attendances, but that
no, it's fine.
Quite directly back to the question in hand, which is budgets. The club is geared perfectly, so anything that comes through the gate, obviously, that is money that we can start to channel back into the first team. Clearly, we're not going to sort of take community funds and use it for that purpose, because that would be the wrong thing to do. But you know, money that is generated by the first team, that can go into a pot for the first team, and that's what we want to do. So yes, sorry, I appreciate this is a really long-winded answer to your question, but yes, we will get to budgets at some point. We probably won't get there next season, but we will get there at some point soon, and that will be driven, hopefully, by some really good crowds that we're going to get at Woodside, starting with a home FA Cup tie, we hope, at the beginning of the next season.
Hopefully, yes. And it must encourage you, having seen other clubs who have got up to step five, thinking about White Ensign, they're a good example. They've gone up there and they've established themselves at that level. So obviously, you're hoping Benfleet could do the same.
Well, look at Sporting Bengal. I mean, Sporting Bengal won the playoffs in our. And again, I'm not piling too much pressure on Lee and the boys here, by the way. But Sporting Bengal won the playoffs in our division last season and are now sitting in the playoffs, last time I checked, in the Essex Senior League.
Yes, they are.
Which is just an amazing story, you know. So obviously, that's, you know, we would love to do that. We know a lot of the Step Five clubs because either we've played them in the cups or because they have, because they've come up from our league, like you say, like the likes of Frenford, Buckhurst Hill, Sporting Bengal, who I just mentioned. We're hopeful and we're quietly confident. And I'm not suggesting we're quietly confident that we're going to come and win the league, by the way, but we're quietly confident that we can hold our own. And, you know, you just never know. Like I say, if you look at Sporting Bengal, it shows you what's possible. You know, that's a great club. That's a great club over there. They came up probably unexpectedly last year, you know, having just about made the playoffs, and they've just carried on their run. You look at Frenford, who won the league fairly comfortably in the end last year, and, you know, are now sitting down the bottom. So you just don't know what's going to happen, but we're so excited to be there. We can't wait to get going again. I think we're going to retain most of our squad from the sort of feelers that we're getting. So with that being said, you know, who knows what will happen next year, but we can't wait.
Okay, exciting times at Benfleet, and it's nice to learn about them. Thanks so much for your time today, Dan. I really appreciate it, and we wish you all the very best for next season, and we'll be interested to see what happens.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's amazing to get invited onto shows like this. Obviously, for the last 5 years, sort of, you know, we've been in the shadows ever since I've been there, and it's just been amazing the last couple of weeks, you know, how we're getting a bit of coverage for our journey. So thank you so much for having us on.
Okay, cheers, Dan.
Thanks very much to Dan once again for his time. Sorry there was a bit of a technical hitch about 6 minutes into that interview, but thankfully we got there in the end. Incidentally, at some point this evening I'll be posting up, a blog of the show, as I do every week, and that will include a podcast, so you'll be able to listen to that again if you wish. So, looking at Saturday in the Thurlow Nunn Division 1 South. Oh, before I do, actually, there was a couple of games on Friday night. Playoff bound Dumbo Town 1-3-2 at Barkingside, and Mayor Baker beat Tower Hamlets 4-2. Benfleet, they beat Hackney Wick 2-1 at home. Harlow Town won 1-0 away at Clapton Community, who narrowly missed out on a playoff spot. Elsewhere, Enfield Borough beat Cannonswood 2-1. Basildon Town won 3-0 at Clapton. Hutton beat St Margaretsbury by 3-2. It finished Newbury Forest 0, Brimsdown 1. Parkview 0, Hoddesdon Town 1. Southend Manor 2, North West London 3. And Wormley, another side in the playoffs, beat Burnham Ramblers 2-1. Tuesday night saw a 2-1 win for Newbury Forest at home to Clapton, and Southend Manor beat Hoddesdon Town even 3-1 at South Church Park. And a couple of games last night, it finished Basildon Town 1, Enfield Borough 1, and Brimsdown 2, Tower Hamlets 3. Looking ahead to this week, there's only a couple of league games on Saturday. The playoff semi-finals are taking place. The league games are Burnham Ramblers versus Hoddesdon, Clapton versus Southend Manor. In the playoff semi-finals, Dumbo Town versus Hutton, and it's Wormley Rovers versus Clapton Community. And incidentally, on Monday, Harlow Town are involved in the League Cup final. They take on Downham Town. Just having a quick look at the Thurlow Nunn Division 1 North, where Great Yarmouth Town are now confirmed as the champions. Framlingham, Stanway, Pegasus, Holland and Cornard United all in the playoffs. Let's have a look at the Essex clubs. Results. Harwich and Parkston beat FC Parson Drove 2-1 to round off their season with a win. With No Town lost 1-0 at Dussindale and Hellesden. Stanway Pegasus lost 3-1 at Hull Beach United, but they are guaranteed a playoff spot. And elsewhere, Great Yarmouth Town, incidentally, they won 2-0 at Witton United to clinch the league title.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Just to let you know what's coming up after me tonight, 8 till 10, Gareth Williams here, as always, with Bumper to Bumper. His regular selection of Indian alternative sounds from the 1960s onwards. But before we go, we need to do our women's roundup. First off, starting off in the Eastern Region Premier Division, because there was no action in the FA Women's National League Southern Premier this weekend for either hashtag United or Billericay Town women. Bowes and Pitsy and Barking are the teams, the two local teams in the Eastern Region Premier. Neither of them were in action this weekend, but this Sunday, Bowes and Pitsy ladies have got a match. They're at home to Wroxham. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Region Division 1 South, a couple of results from Sunday. Southend United women drew with Billericay Town Women's Development side, and finished Wormley Rovers Ladies 6, Watson Park Ladies 3. And Watford now confirmed as the champions of that league. Southend United women will finish in second place. There is one match this Sunday, Billericay Town Women's Development. They have a home match against Hutton Women. And in the London and South East Regional Division 1 North, our two local sides in our league, Hackney and Clapton Community, faced each other on Sunday. Eighth-placed Hackney beat fourth-placed Clapton Community 4-2. Sport London East Benfica now confirmed as the champions of that league. Neither Clapton Community Women nor Hackney have a match this weekend. Several results from the Essex County Women's League Premier Division last Sunday. Bowers and Pitsy Reserves beat Toby Ladies 2-1. Corinthians beaten 3-1 at home by Tigers Ladies. There was a defeat for Leaders Chelmsford City Women away to second place Frontiers Ladies. Frontiers won 4-3. And finally, Stanbury Rovers Ladies drew 1-1 with Romford Ladies. Three matches this Sunday. Corinthians Women playing Bowers and Pitsy Reserves. Romford take on Toby Ladies. Stanbury Rovers Ladies take on Frontiers Ladies. That is pretty much that. Thanks. Grateful thanks once again to my guest, Dan Wright, the chairman of Benfleet. I should be back, all be well, on Saturday afternoon, 3 till 6 p.m. with Phoenix Sport, where we'll be looking at all of the local, national and international sports stories, live updates and some fine music in between as well. I hope you can join me then. If not, I should be back next Thursday, 7 till 8 p.m. with another edition of the Non-League Hour. I'm going to play out with Eric Pratt. This is Cool on Me. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.